The Colorado Inn and KFKA present Rams Weekly. Brought to you by Marinda Simpson State Farm Insurance. Here's Brady Hull and Kevin Lino.
Well, I was out last week for Rams Weekly, Kevin. Tanner stepped in. I really appreciate it. And then I was out for Saturday.
He didn't really miss anything.
Kevin.
Just a football game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I shot you a text like an hour or two before the game. I was like, hey, man, family's really under the weather. I just wanted to let you know I'm not going to be there. Just, you know, just wanted to check it out, you know, because I know you look forward to our friendship.
Absolutely.
And, I was like, shouldn't be the most exciting game ever.
Late game, whatever.
Yeah, late game. I'm sure it'll be either CSU will blow them out or Boise State will blow them out. It'll be over by the fourth quarter, and everybody will go home and tuck into bed for the night.
It'll just be a normal football game.
And so I'm sitting there watching, and you did a great job of your coverage, as you always do, but this is obviously a unique circumstance. Sitting there, I'm like, I missed it. I missed this, and it just like keeps hitting. And then I see Kevin tweeting out. They're in the locker room. You're filming the dancing and the celebrating and just all of it. And I was like, I said it out loud. I'm like, they let the media in the locker room tonight? What the hell?
FOMO.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I want to say I'll never miss another game again. But guess where I'm? I mean, I got a wedding to attend next Saturday. The Tanner Schwint decided to...
Who would get married in the middle of football season?
I don't know. Especially CSU Air Force. So
you got to question his commitment.
I do. I question it. Well... You know what? I don't question his commitment
My mind went straight to football, obviously.
But me, I'm like, Tanner, what about football, man? What about us? All that stuff. But
can stream it. I've streamed a game in the middle of a wedding. That's probably a story for a different game, a different day. But
well, I'm curious. Let's talk about some ideas on how that might work.
I actually got away with it. I guess I shouldn't say it on the radio.
Did you have the phone? Don't tell that person that you do a radio show. Did you have like the phone in your coat pocket or something?
No, just a little sneaky.
I need to take notes then.
Yeah,
because that may happen. Was it like at the bottom of your shoe or something, and then you could just like
just sneaky.
Okay, all right.
Now I.
You don't want to give it away.
Plead the fifth.
All right. Well, either way, CSU, Boise State, wow. I mean, they picked a heck of a time to beat them for the first time. It was looking pretty bad there. 30 to 10.
30 to 10 with about 6 minutes left.
And I thought, just like
some
you, Kevin,
people, we won't name any names. Some people may have gone on Twitter or X, whatever it's called, and said, yeah, game over.
Yeah. See, that's why, Kevin, I went vague with it. I went, good night, folks.
Well, that's the smart way, but it's funny. Some, you know, it was me. You know, surprise. Yeah. Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
Well, I agreed with you.
Everyone did. Everyone did.
Yeah, it was over.
There's a reason that there were like 1,000 people left in the stands. It wasn't because everyone was sure that CSU was coming back. It was funny. Oliver Jervis, one of the offensive linemen, after came from the locker room, tweeted back at me something, not quite, was it, or something like that, which I think is funny. Like I said, after game, when I was kind of getting teased by some people, I was laughing at some of the fans. It's like, I want to see proof of where you were.
Yeah.
With 4 minutes left, because I tweeted his game over, and obviously I was wrong. But were you still in the seats? Thinks not. But it's funny, and I said I'll wear it. Yeah, I was wrong. One of the craziest finishes, one of the best comebacks in Mountain West history.
You had a 99.9% chance of being right with that tweet. So who could blame you?
Yeah, I mean, it took unprecedented happenings for this to come together. Jay Norvell said Monday, after going back through a tape, he said there are probably a dozen plays in the final 4 minutes that if it doesn't go the right way, CSU doesn't execute the right way, it's game over. That's a lot of plays go right. A dozen, plays in that small segment do not generally go right, and it happened.
When I got to tell you, and I know we've got to talk about BFN and, who is he really at this stage in his career as a quarterback? But it was the play, and I want to get to that in a minute, Micah. The play right before the Hail Mary,
Important pass.
He steps up into the pocket. I really loved that. And then he just kind of puts it. Looks like there's a little bit of a bracket over Torrey. You got the safety. Yep. You got the cornerback underneath. He puts that right in the perfect spot, hits Torrey in the fingertips, basically. Gets the perfect grab, and then Torrey does the smart thing, gets up quickly, and then they spike the football.
Yeah, I mean, that in many ways is sort of the play of the game. Obviously, Hail Mary is, but that one really – I went and rewatched the game today just to see it all again, and that final drive is even crazier than you think. I had forgotten there's a penalty on CSU on the first play for illegal touching, so they go back 5 yards. The first completion was a play that took too long and then was 11 yards, which at that time is bad. Like, you don't want an 11-yard gain because it's too short. And then, that throw to Horton. One, kind of scramble, move up in pocket. Two, BFN gives him kind of does the point of where to go. Like, hey, head to the back corner. I'll drop it in. And he does just that. Torrey does everything right. We've seen those where a guy will celebrate or they'll leave the ball there. More clock runs off, whatever. He runs it right to Mill, hands it to referee. Everyone gets lined up really comfortably, honestly. I think they only burned 1 or 2 seconds and they had more. But just a brilliant play to set up the Holy Hulker, a play that as long as CSU football exists, people will remember this.
This will go down in history as one of the biggest plays ever. I don't think there's any debate there. You could argue, was it the biggest comeback ever? Was it the best comeback? Was it whatever?
But for a single play, it's got to be just about up there, not the number one.
This one took the cake. The Holy Hulker, the Hail Mary that ultimately led to an extra point that led to a victory for Colorado State.
Colorado State looking for their first win ever against Boise State. One final shot. Fowler Nicolosi chucking it into the end zone. Everybody is there. Is it caught? Is it caught? Colorado State! Dallin Hulker makes the catch. It's a miracle in Fort Collins. We're tied up.
There's the call coverage of FS1. It's a great call.
It's funny. There's like the little pause of think shock, because that's what we all were.
It was all so from where I'm watching it, I'm in bed watching it, and I'm seeing him, like, the ball was placed exactly where you would want. So again, shout out to BFN, because that's where you want, back of the end zone. That ball
and you've seen Hail Marys where they underthrow it and it's short, or overthrow it and it's out of the end zone. You don't even get a chance.
Yeah, so it was in the perfect spot. Torrey was set up in the perfect spot, which I thought Torrey was the point man, but it turns out
Torrey was in the wrong spot, actually.
Yeah, which is crazy. But see,
but it worked.
When I was talking to Coach Norvell, I was like, it looked like it was perfect. Send Torrey to that corner, and then he can jump up, because you're almost boxing out the out-of-bounds. So then you're putting the ball forward, I guess backward, into the end zone, so there's nowhere for it to go. But who was actually the point man?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Lewis Brown, Jay Norvell said, is kind of their jump ball high point guy. He has that huge athleticism. So he runs sort of to the middle of the pile, if you will. Torrey Horton, because he's the fastest, is supposed to run long and be ready for the tip at the back end of the end zone. And Dallin Hulker is the short guy, the sweeper, that's supposed to be there for if it's batted back toward the goal line. One of the great, great scenes from the locker room that we were able to get. Jay Norvell was handing out game balls. The last one basically went to the team. But as he was doing it, he said, Torrey, tell him what you told me before the final play, or what you told me and Dallin. Torrey, you hear from kind of the back of the locker room, he goes, I told Dallin, be ready for the bleep, bleep, tip. And sure enough, and then after in the postgame press conference, he kind of recounted that again and said, They were going to play deep. I knew they were going to be really deep, so it wasn't going to end up long. So I was like, it's going to be tipped back toward the goal line. And I just knew Dallin was going to be there, and that's where a ball was going to go. Because the DBs really did what you're supposed to do. They always tell you, knock it down, knock it down. Don't try and catch it. Don't knock it up.
It was on its way down.
They knocked it straight down. A split second reaction for Hulker to scoop it. Just insane play.
He kind of it almost like he slides in there. And that's why even you hear it on the broadcast, I was the same way. I'm like, there's the ball. Okay, they knocked it down. It's falling. There's Dallin Hulker lying there, kind of. Is the ball in his hands? Holy crap, it's there. And there's no grass underneath that football. It's in his hands. It's a catch.
Yeah, I mean, I moved down toward the end of the press box for that play to be kind of on the goal line. Obviously, I'm a ways up. but kind of had the perfect vantage point. You know, I'm recording. I tweet out this video. It's obviously not the best one, but it's interesting to look at from that angle. And as it's coming, you kind of see Holker has the box out, and you're like, oh my gosh, like he's in a position. Like if this ball comes back that way, he's going to get it. And it happened just completely crazy. And then they had to hit a long extra point. Just a wild, wild crazy sequence, I like to say. That's going to be remembered forever.
It was weird in my mind, too. They get the Hail Mary. They get the touchdown to tie it. And in a weird way, I was like, I don't even know what's going to happen if they miss this and go to overtime. But the fact that you're right here, right now, you got to this point is pretty miraculous. So almost in my head, I was counting on a miss, Kevin. I was almost counting on a miss.
You know, CSU's had some bad history recently, football, you know.
But
let's just be real. There were a lot of people, I won't name anyone, I want to, you know, out anyone, but there were people at CSU that kind of had that feeling of like, oh my gosh, this would be the most CSU thing to go miss the extra point and lose in overtime. Because like Jay Norvell has said over and over, you need a breakthrough win to almost create that belief. And then to do it that way, you know, it happened. The post-game scenes were just incredible.
Jay Norvell did say that. He said, belief is the hardest thing to really gain when you're building a program. Do the Rams, not to quote primetime, but do the Rams believe now? They're going to have to. They got UNLV coming up this weekend. They're 8-point dogs, at least according to ESPN now. Kevin and I will talk about that game coming up. UNLV's a good team. How good? We'll talk about that next. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Kevin, I have a question. You and I have had the fan debate, the fun fan debate. You know, well, that was an abrupt stop there. It's all right. We talked about it with the Avs, remember, with Chambers? Was it Chambers with the Denver Post?
Yeah.
He's holding up the
Stanley Cup.
Stanley Cup and all that stuff. And you and I, and this is what I respect so much about you, is you are great at what you do. You don't get too close. I was joking with Jack Howell. I was like, dude, if I would have been at that game or invited to the locker room, I'm just waiting for Jay Norvell to be like, hey, who's coming over for beers next? And I'd be like, I'm in. Let's go. In that moment, though, was there a little part of you that's like, yeah.
Well, it's a cool moment.
Awesome.
I mean, that's a fun celebration energy to witness. No doubt about that. It's a significant point for this program. So, yeah, there's no doubt it's cool to see. I mean, I've always said this. It's more fun to cover winning teams than losing teams. They ain't letting us in the locker room after bad losses.
How many times have they let you in the locker room?
Zero. I mean, during that.
Tell me 20 times.
Yeah, you know, we did tours, you know, when the stadium opened and whatnot, things like that. But, no, for an actual live locker room, if you will, it's, you know, it's a common thing in pros. You know, locker rooms are open. Mm-hmm. But in college, it's not the only time it happens. Like NCAA tournaments and basketball, the locker room opens up. So I've been in those because it's NCAA mandated. You know, the schools don't have a choice. You can't lock it. But no, never in a situation like that.
Making me feel better.
I mean, never mind. It happens like all the time.
I know.
It's basically weekly.
Golly. But was there a part, did you smile a little bit? Were you like,
it was fun. Awesome. I mean, it was enjoyable. Like I say, it's a cool thing to witness. Like a lot of happiness is contagious. I mean, you can't sit there and be like,
you weren't like giving hugs or anything.
No,
like that.
No, definitely not that. But no, it's a happy, fun thing to be, you know, to witness. And like I say, winning teams are more fun to cover than losing teams.
Were any media members hugging? Was there hugs? Was there like a player going up to a media guy?
I don't think so. I mean, there are a lot of people in there because you have obviously all the players, which is like 100 some, all the trainers, you know, all that staff, you know, support staff, coaches. There are some parents, there's some administration. So there's a ton of people in that locker room. So it's kind of chaotic.
That's the difference. You're a great journalist, and I'm just a person. And I would definitely be like, hey, high five.
Hey, Jay,
all
let
around.
Me tap in. I got next dance.
Yep, next dance. Here I go.
Jay, a funny quote from Jay said, the only things that can get me a dance are my wife and my boys after a big win.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of always been my, again, that's why I love what you do. I do fan it up a little bit, but I've always said if you're going to fan it up, you also have to be really critical. You have to be able to come down on them, and I think I try to do that too. So I'd be dancing with Jay, but if they lose, you know, 30-14 on Saturday, on Monday, I'm going to come in and say, what the hell are we doing? So it's a mixed – I won't be invited to the next dance, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do, Kevin.
Absolutely. And that's the roller coaster of college football.
Yeah, and what a win it was, man. I mean, again – Colorado State, my poll question on Monday was, what was the biggest story? CSU coming back in 6 minutes, or what happened with CU and Stanford? CU was up 29-0. Mm. Stanford comes back and wins. And I said this, I'm going to take the positive route first, and I know some Rams fans would say it was a positive CU loss, but you've done something you've never done before. You beat Boise State. I also know that CU's never given up that big of a comeback before, but still, you never beat this team, and you're trying to change a culture. I thought that, and I'm not just with my CSU glasses on, that was the bigger moment.
Time will tell, but I would say it's probably more likely that the CSU win will have a longer-term impact than the CU loss. I think CU is what we think they are. They have some really talented players. They have a lack of depth. Their lines aren't very good. They're in the early stages of a rebuild. I don't think that game's going to have long-term impacts on them other than, you know, I don't see how they get a bowl this year. Whereas CSU, we'll see. Time will tell. But it is possible that that could be a catalyst in the rebuild of this program. Like, you go back to the 2017 Boise game, the huge collapse. We didn't know it at the time, but that was the start of the slide that ended the Mike Bobo era a couple years later. It was a multi-year slide. It's not like they just fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
But that absolutely was the starting point. We don't know. It's possible this could just be a one-off blip. But if this is basically the reverse and the start of the upward climb, that will be more impactful. Like I said, I think the CU game was wild and crazy. But, you know, long term for how, you know, Deion Sanders does at Colorado, I don't think it has much impact.
At bare minimum, you want to see some kind of progress. And I'm talking win-loss column. And the Rams won 3 games last year. So you got to think that they're going to win at least 4. They're going to at least
better.
And that's progress. The question is, though, at 3-3, they're halfway there. That's the, you know, obviously, I think there's some Rams fans that still holding on to hopes that they could be in the top 3 finish in the Mountain West, maybe even pull off a couple of upset wins against Wyoming and Air Force and play in a Mountain West championship game. But first things first, when you look at a bowl opportunity for CSU, you're at UNLV, you're a dog, you're going to be a dog against Air Force, even with their quarterback mm-hmm. situation. You're probably going to be a dog at Wyoming.
Oh, for sure.
Home against San Diego State.
Probably a favorite. San Diego State looks pretty bad.
Home against Nevada, pretty bad.
Heavy favorite.
Plus Jay Norvell and Nevada, that's fun. Yep. And then at Hawaii, which again, the equalizer of going to Hawaii. Yep. But there's 3 wins there, right?
There can be, certainly. I mean, those last 3... CSU may be favored in all of them. Maybe not Hawaii. We'll see how both teams play out. But those are 3 winnable ones. But you also don't want to go down to the final 3 weeks needing to go 3-0. You know, you can get beat up at that time. Obviously, thin margin for error, all those type of things. But yeah, CSU is putting themselves in a position. I mean, I think 3-3 is probably where... certainly where I thought they'd be. I think you're probably on board with that as well. Not how we expect it to happen, but that's about where we thought.
I think our only difference was in the summer, I predicted them to beat the Buffs.
Yeah, like I said, difference in games and how it happened, but probably record about what we thought, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, three, maybe 4. I'm not going to sit here and say I think CSU is a Mountain West contender, but you do have those games in front of you that if you do turn it on, you do control your own destiny still, despite the Utah State game, because if somehow you do rip off the next 6, you're going to be in the Mountain West title game. Again, that's a highly unlikely type of thing, but at least it's still in front of you. It's mid-October, and we're not talking about what CSU can look like next year. CSU has not had a winning record within a season since 2017. A win Saturday would do that.
Wow.
CSU has not won 4 games since 2019. These are not exactly real high bars we're shooting for, but that's how bad the program has been. So they're in the mix to do things that CSU hasn't done before, but this is quite a gauntlet right here, this October and first week of November stretch.
By the time they were, October 22nd of last year, that was their Hawaii game, they were looking for just their second win.
Yeah.
And that got them to 2-5. So they're certainly ahead of schedule right now, and that's the hope if you're a CSU fan, is it's progress. It's going to take a little bit of time. Speaking of taking time, Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, do you, like, looking at that first quarter and that first half, the way Jay Norvell kind of was calling this offense, what was into that? Was it just conservative play call? He's young. You're trying to ease him into the game? Because it kind of reminded me of how he handled things against Washington State a little bit, was the fact that you're running a lot more. You're not really going downfield. What was the thinking there, Kevin?
Yeah, I think all of those things you just mentioned were in play. Jay Norvell said, you know, you want to get the run game going against Boise because of how their defense plays, helps loosen them up. I think the genesis was CSU had turned it over a lot in the last couple weeks. Obviously, Utah State game, a really alarming amount, and wanted to kind of ease in and make sure to not start the game like that. And you can understand that, but also it just backfired. I mean, 8 of the first 12 plays were runs, and you're down. You know, Van Shield is doing a great job, but you're down to your walk-on running back as kind of your lead back. We know the O-line isn't great run blocking yet. You know, 4 straight 3 and outs to start the game. You just can't do that. CSU forced 3 first half turnovers and went 3 and out on all of them. You have to respond. Sudden change. Coaches love those. You have to respond to those and make big plays. So, yeah, I think they were conservative to try and protect the offense from itself a little bit. And I asked Jay Norvell about Wednesday, and he basically said, yeah, some, you know, a good bit of that was on the game plan and our calls. We need to do a better job of the comfort we saw the guys have in the fourth quarter. We need to get that to them in the first quarter by, in layman's terms, basically being more aggressive and get the ball to the guys that should have the ball, which we don't have to do a lot of thinking to figure out who that is, Torrey Horton, Dallin Holker. So I think you're going to see a more aggressive start on Saturday.
Yeah, I just, like we talked about earlier, Kevin, just pretend you're down 10-0.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe it'll work.
It's like 6 minutes left in the game, or maybe even 20-0. No, who knows? All right, we'll be right back. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. And we are back. Rams Weekly continuing here. Colorado State setting their sights on UNLV. UNLV, as of right now, they are 2-0 in the Mountain West Conference, second in the conference behind Air Force, 5-1 overall. I think they have a really young quarterback, too, and they're able to run the ball pretty well. How shocked are you that the that UNLV is coming into this game 5-1, Kevin?
Definitely surprised. I mean, I thought they'd be decent, and you do have to remember they started really well last year before they kind of hit the meat of the Mountain West schedule and sort of fell apart, led to a coaching change. Barry Odom's an experienced guy doing a good job. Their running back group is pretty explosive. They've had a lot of big runs, and they're doing a good job. The schedule really makes it baffling to figure out exactly what they are. They got handled pretty good at Michigan, which is no surprise. I mean, Michigan had all their play calls. And then the rest of the schedule, you know, a home win over Vanderbilt is pretty nice.
Yeah.
But otherwise, they've pretty much played bad teams. So you can only beat who's in front of you. We've kind of said the same thing about Air Force, and then they win and beat Wyoming. So it doesn't mean you're a bad team just because you've beat bad teams. But it is kind of an unknown of how UNLV will respond when they're playing sort of a similar team. I think CSU is probably, you know, they're pretty much in the same class, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you do look back at that schedule. You got to be fair, because a lot of people wondered how good UNLV would be at all, but they handled the teams in front of them, and other than Michigan, and here they are with a heck of an opportunity in front of them. If they can beat CSU at home, then that's going to set them
up. They'd be bowl eligible for the first time since 2013, I believe.
And they have a new coach, too, right?
Yeah, so. First-year coach. I think they've only made, like, 2 bowls since 2001 or something like that. UNLV has basically just been a doormat for a long time.
Yeah, well, and I saw where the Raiders owner gave him $1 million.
I did see that, and they play in Allegiant Stadium.
Yep. Are they going to keep playing there?
That's their home. It's sort of like the Chargers with SoFi. They're kind of renters, if you will. They have a different field. It's funny. They have a grass field for the Raiders, and then they can roll it out and roll in an artificial turf field for UNLV. It's quite an operation. And it's funny, Jay Norvell, he's played UNLV a lot. That was a big rivalry at Nevada. They played the first college game at Allegiant Stadium. Nevada won that one. Jay Norvell worked for the Raiders, which I know our guy Micah loves. Norvell loves this trip because he has a lot of Raiders ties. He's excited. There are a lot of people he'll know and see down there. And like I say, he always enjoyed playing UNLV and having pretty good success. So it's a totally new thing for CSU. Only one player on this roster has played UNLV as a Ram. But for Norvell, it's kind of a welcome back to Nevada.
Yeah, kind of getting used to playing different teams in the Mountain West.
Yeah,
with the schedule shuffling.
This is the first time since 2019 these two teams have played.
Wow.
And they haven't played in Vegas since 2016. So it's almost like a non-conference game because there's just no familiarity.
Yeah, that was kind of how I felt going into this, too. It's like, yeah, you don't talk CSU, UNLV a whole heck of a lot.
No, and even, like, I don't even know much of the media core down there because you know, we never cross paths because we're not covering the same game.
Yeah, well, UNLV, if they can beat CSU, then they'll have Fresno State, and then at New Mexico. Well, they're at Fresno State, at New Mexico, still have Wyoming, and then they're at Air Force to go, too. So,
yeah, they're heading into meat of a schedule now. That's why, record nice, I don't think they're a Mountain West contender, but they have every chance to prove that wrong.
You're right, though, when you say both teams are kind of in the same position. Both teams got to consider this somewhat of a must-win. If you think you're capable of being in the top tier of the Mountain West, then you have to win this game because both teams have Wyoming and Air Force still to go.
Yeah, there's kind of a swing. I mean, for UNLV, I think they'll get bowl eligible kind of no matter what. They have enough now. But win this game, and they could be looking at a pretty darn good bowl. Whereas lose, and with that schedule, you could be, you know, maybe you end up 7-5, and you're in, you know, they're not going to say be mad about any bowl, but some a little less prestigious. And likewise for CSU, your bowl chances are still alive if you lose, but they increase hugely with a win.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You win this game if you're CSU. And
I mean, I think you're probably above 80% chance if you win this game. Right now, I would say it's like 60% chance, roughly.
It'd just be huge to be able to take that win from Boise State and do something with it. Now, again, the Rocky Mountain Showdown was a lot of hype. A lot of great things came from that. You lost, but still, there was a lot of good things that came.
And they carried that with a solid win at Middle Tennessee.
Yep, and then you win two in a row, and you beat a team you're supposed to beat, but you still won two in a row. So now we'll see if that can kind of catapult you. And it's such a long season that it is important to try to take those positives from the week before and see if you can really build off of that, you know, as far as looking at your confidence factor.
Yeah, and that's how you develop into a truly high-level winning program. You know, it's one thing, and this is probably where CSU is at right now, to be an up-and-down, you know, 500-type team. But obviously, that is not the goal long-term. And if you want to grow beyond, you know, kind of a middle-tier team, you have to start stacking these things together.
Yeah, you really do. And this is the time for Colorado State. You know, I don't know if they're ready for that level just yet to be at the top of this conference. But things change, man. Wyoming's out with, you know, they're going without their stud running back for last week and who knows how long. Air Force without their starting quarterback. So things change quickly in this conference. And you know, you never know about, like, Air Force and Wyoming. Both teams always feel like they're, or at least Air Force, Wyoming the last couple of years, it feels like you're doing really well in conference play, and then you just run into a couple
of bad situations,
and then you're not where you finish in the middle of the conference again.
Yeah, it's going to be really fascinating. The conference is pretty funky. You know, Air Force is obviously rolling, but they have, you look at the rest of their schedule, and every game it's like, well, I could see how they win it. I could also see how they lose it. Wyoming, we know, kind of plays on that edge just because of the low-scoring defensive games they play. You know, Boise State is going to beat somebody. I don't think it's a very good team, but it's also not a bad team. They're going to beat someone higher up in the conference. We know Fresno is pretty good. So it's an interesting grouping. And, you know, Utah State, they almost beat Fresno State the other night. They clearly, again, to me, Utah State and CSU are similar. Their highs are pretty high. The lows are pretty low.
Yeah, no question. When you look at UNLV, Kevin, the matchup, we talked about it. They have a young quarterback, too, that they're really impressed with. They're running the ball well.
Yeah, and they get really, really big gains. They've had some long rushing touchdowns. We've talked about CSU's defense and the big plays. They have some speed back there. You just cannot get gashed for those 78-yard touchdowns or whatever.
So what concerns you the most about UNLV's offense when you look at what CSU
to me that big play ability, CSU's been vulnerable on those. I think their quarterback has done some good stuff, but I think you almost have to do it like you did in the second half against Boise State, try and slow the run game and make them beat you through the air. And if they are, then you can readjust, but man, their running backs are pretty explosive,
and that's been kind of the struggle for CSU, right, is whether they're chipping away at you. That's why that Air Force game is probably given Freddie Banks nightmares already. But, whether you're chipping away at this team or you're breaking off those big runs, CSU's really struggled against the run this year.
Yeah, definitely. Ashton Genty, phenomenal back, but he had a huge game. Yeah, it's definitely a concern, and that's going to be really big. UNLV doesn't turn the ball over either, and that's where CSU has lived, of even when they're giving up big plays, they force turnovers. So if they can do that and, force a couple, that will be huge. But this is an explosive. UNLV leads the Mountain West in scoring. Now, again, some of that goes back to your schedule, but no doubt you don't put up 37 a game or whatever their average is without having some guys that can make some plays.
Kevin, how are we saying the quarterback's name? Jaden, I haven't watched a lot of UNLV games this year, so I haven't heard his name a whole lot. Jaden Maeva?
Yeah, I think it's Maeva.
Okay.
I think. I don't have the pronunciation.
I go with you. I'm going with you on that. He's good.
Yeah.
He's probably going to have a nice career there.
Yeah, he looks like it. He looks like a nice player. He kind of unseated. Brumfield was a guy that I think was expected to be QB1 and a pretty good player, and he's just taking that job. So yeah, they have skill guys on offense, no doubt.
Yeah, Ricky White against Nevada, wide receiver, had 7 receptions for 166
yards. Yeah, he had a late big touchdown, I believe. Yeah,
of them was like an 80.
They have playmakers, and they've scored some long touchdowns.
Can
this year.
You keep the monster plays from happening against you? That'll be kind of a key. Kevin and I will make some picks when it comes to CSU and UNLV, and look at the Mountain West Conference slate for the rest of the weekend. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Rams Weekly. This is a nice, fun show today. Thanks, Tanner, for filling in. You let me come back, though, so I appreciate it, Kevin.
Yeah, I was looking across the desk last week. I was like, Brady looks a little different. I can't really put my finger on it. Well, he looks different. And he sounds different, too.
That was part of it. Like, my wife was getting sick right around that time. The kid was... So it was just a mix. And so that led into the weekend, too. So can you convince him to let us back in the locker room again at some point, Kevin? Is that something you can do?
No. I have no clue. Hey, Tanner picked CSU on the show, though.
Well, I picked him.
Well, you weren't at the show, so.
I wasn't at the show. I did pick CSU. I also picked Wyoming to win, though, too. So I can't. I can't. You lose one, you win one, you whatever. Yeah. Did you pick him to cover the spread?
Yeah. No. Yes. No. I don't remember. I think I picked about, what was the spread end up being, like 8?
Yeah.
I think so. I picked Boise by like 10.
Like 8,
so
yeah.
I think I has a competitive game, but not quite.
Well, you know what? It happens. I think there were a lot of people that thought Boise State was going, they win every game against CSU.
Yep.
So. All right, looking ahead at this weekend in the Mountain West Conference, not a Mountain West Conference game, but Air Force takes a break from conference play to play Navy, as they do. The quarterback thing, Larrier is out. That's a scary situation for Air Force, but how much will that impact them? They are 10.5-point favorites against Navy.
Yeah, always fun. And the interesting thing about these is, as good as Air Force obviously is playing right now, this is one of the two teams that knows how to stop that option because they see it all the time. So it'll be interesting. I think Air Force keeps rolling, though.
You think they cover that?
Yeah.
Yeah. If Larry was in, I'd say for sure. But you just wonder.
They just seem to plug and play. I mean, they lost two of their best offensive players last year and did not miss a beat.
They got a lot of confidence right now too. Being a ranked team, this is going to be on CBS. So I think you're right. I think I'm leaning that way. Definitely. Wow. Definitely to win. I don't know if I'm going cover yet.
That's a tough.
Yeah.
Tough number.
No, I'll say they cover. Sure. Let's just go with it. The rest in the Mountain West, save for CSU UNLV.
I think that's the best, Mountain West game.
Do we care what happens with San Diego State, Nevada?
It's mildly interesting, San Diego State and Nevada, just because those are two of those teams we said CSU, might need to beat to get a bowl. So, San Diego State roll Nevada, or is it close? But I think San Diego State wins that. Nevada's quite bad.
And then you have Utah State and San Jose State. I guess
that could be a fun game, just pure entertainment, because, again, both those teams are pretty volatile. I think Utah State wins. I think they're playing pretty decent right now.
That's a good point. You've seen both of these teams prove that they belong, and then they just draw.
Yep.
So San Jose State is a four-point favorite in that game.
That surprised me a bit. I'll go Utah State for a straight-up win.
New Mexico, Hawaii. Hawaii is a one-point favorite in this game.
And that's in Hawaii?
No, it's in New Mexico.
Oh, interesting.
The over is 60 in this game.
Interesting. I think New Mexico might win.
I'm kind of rooting for Hawaii.
So is Jay Norvell.
Because of the CSU connection, and plus, I always kind of root for Hawaii, man. I just do. I like what they're about. But give me Hawaii. Sure. Why not? Those picks don't count for me anyway, Kevin.
Nah.
It's non-local. CSU, UNLV. UNLV, according, it just dropped again. It was 8 this morning. It's back down to 7.5. So UNLV favored by 7.5 against Colorado State.
Yeah, it's where basically the same line as CSU much. Boise was, which is kind of interesting. Obviously, UNLV is at home. I've had a hunch all week. There's not really anything to back this. I feel like CSU wins the game. I'm going to say a 34-31. Obviously, just every game is going to be kind of chaotic, I guess. But like I say, it's more hunch than really substance. But that's where I'm going. I think CSU gets it.
I think they – I don't know. Again, I think it could be a high-scoring game. I don't know if this defense figures it out completely. I think they make enough big plays. But I do think that this offense
– I think the offense
together,
could be more consistent.
They don't wait till 6 minutes, I think, or wait till fourth quarter.
Yeah, I guess that's probably my main substance to my thought.
Yeah, I think in the first quarter they just get rocking and rolling, and they'll take care of it. They'll beat UNLV. I'm going
sure
with you on that.
There we go.
All right. CSU, UNLV, big one coming up this weekend. Can they follow up that victory against Boise State? We'll find out on Saturday night. Kevin, also, looking forward here, basketball's right around the corner. I know CSU had their scrimmage last week before all the madness.
Intra-squad, I don't even know how to say that. Team played itself.
Yeah, they played itself. Did you learn more about the starting lineup?
Yeah, I think we saw, at least right now, what the lineup is, that Isaiah Stevens guy, I guess, is going
to
start. I don't know about that.
Just figure out which position he'll play.
Yeah, but whatever. Josiah Strong looked really good. Neat Clifford looked really good. We know Joel Scott and Patrick Cartier are going to be inside. Joe Palmer played well. Again, it's a scrimmage. Don't take too much away. But you can see how, especially like a guy like Neek, could really fit in nicely with Isaiah Stevens. And Josiah Strong, again, I keep repeating this, but he was going to be a big part of last year before the illness and stuff happened. He looks like a really nice piece. So depth is CSU's biggest problem in the fact that they have tons of depth, and how do you spread the minutes out? But they look good. They have a quote-unquote secret scrimmage Saturday. Obviously, it's not such a big secret. They have another one the following Saturday. I believe this week's is Minnesota. I believe next week's is Oregon. And that's why they're not playing exhibition. They're playing just two pretty high-level secret scrimmages that absolutely no one knows about. We definitely don't talk about it on the radio.
Why do they try?
It's a silly NCAA rule. I don't know why these can't just be, like, open or whatever.
I mean, you don't have to let fans come in. You could still just do it.
I don't know. It's,
and just not tell anybody.
It's all just silly. And coaches secret. There's just so many weird things in college sports.
Well,
that's one of them. So it's a secret scrimmage that everyone knows about.
You might do what Michigan
There's
does.
Literally a site lines. That publishes what all the secret scrimmages are going to be. So,
and if they know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's coming together. I think it's, you know, there's going to be a learning process. They still, you know, Tavy Jackson has battled some injury stuff in camp here, so he needs to get back going. Rashawn Mbemba wasn't able to participate because he has come off an illness. So they need to get him, you know, back practicing fully and, you know, just more reps and stuff because, you know, he'll be one of the backup bigs. But you could see how this could be a pretty good team. The
really
length
pumped.
Athleticism is definitely way up from a year ago.
Okay, who's the second best player on this team?
That's a ooh.
Like if you just at the end you're making a prediction. Who you think's going to be the best player on this team?
Okay, I'm gonna kind of hedge here. If you're gonna be really good this year, if you're CSU, I think it needs to be Nick Clifford. Patrick Cartier though could be, and he's gonna score an outrageously efficient point, and he doesn't need to be sensational defensively as long as he's okay with Joel Scott alongside him. I think Cartier, maybe give it to Cartier right now, but. If you're going to be an NCAA tournament team, Neek should at least be in that conversation because he probably has the highest untapped ceiling of guys that, you know, will be in that rotation.
Who do you think, like, because I don't think Neek's really a surprise for people
right.
that he's going to be a good player because he was with CU, so
yeah.
You're obviously thinking he's going to be good. Is there a guy on this roster you look at and go, he might be a surprise to a lot of people? Like, Joel Scott playing at a lower level,
yeah.
but still being the best at that level?
Yeah, I think there are a few. I mean, him a little bit, I think he'll be useful. He's not going to score at the level he did at Black Hills, but that's not what they need him to do. I mean, maybe I'm cheating, but Josiah Strong, just again, because guys haven't seen him, I think
it's
he's a
like
really
forgot about.
Yeah,
him.
He's a really good player that you just haven't seen, and I think there's some hope. Not I think I know there's some hope within the program that Jalen Lake makes a you know significant leap this year and becomes you know one of the guys. So again, we've seen him play a lot. He's done a lot of good things, but he has a chance to you know really grow up.
What I love the most about the opportunity to go to that golf thing the other day was you actually get to put a personality with you guys like you do every single year.
That's fun.
I don't get to do that with the entire team. Usually it's a player or two. So it was really fun. You're rooting for these guys. Kevin, my friend, great job as always. And see if you can talk to CSU into letting us back in the locker room.
Maybe they'll do it this week in Vegas.
Next week. I'll be out. The week after that. Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. That's going to do it. It's been Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.